Frightful challenge. This is not an understatement, and I'm sure you know this. As you go from second to second in your life, it's one of the easiest things that we do, aside from breathing, is forgetting that we are trying to become members of the eternal race of human beings. Human beings were created to live forever. Unfortunately, our forefather Adam and our foremother Eve took something that did not belong to them and ate it. And so they got us involved in this whole thing about, sedition, rebellion, and stuff, where we have to show our loyalty to the one and only Creator God, the only one who deserves our allegiance. And, it would be easy if we could just say, well, yeah, duh, I definitely don't want to be on the side of the traitor. I don't want to be on the side of the one who makes everything rotten. The liar and the cheat and the murderer from the beginning. I don't want to be on that side because that stuff's not cool. It would be really neat if that was the end and the beginning of it. But as our Creator knew, before the world began, the issue of rebellion runs a lot deeper. It's a hard thing, easily enough forgotten as we brush our teeth and check our clothes and feed the dog. So when I look in the book of Joel, chapter 3, and I read multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision, it burns my heart to pieces. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. I've actually heard this text talked about before in a different sense where they're saying these people are in the valley of decision. But while we're talking about our journey and how we are pressing forward so that we indeed will be found worthy to have a right to the tree of life through the acceptance of Jesus Christ and living as cleanly as we possibly can, knowing that there will always be a way of escape provided for us, I see something else. I see the fact of life that is mentioned in the second part of the verse. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. What do we do from second to second? The old folks back. I mean, they're my parents would have been calling them old folks, but I kind of have this retro way of thinking. But the old folks, used to talk a lot about how judgment was right there. Your last day is right there. That's your judgment, looking into the eye of God. Wow. What an amazing idea that is. But it's right there. It's any second. It's right now. What is the decision that you're making right now? That's the day of judgment. You're putting yourself down for judgment right then. Even a child is known by his doings. These things are written down, whether his works be true or whether they be right. In the valley of decision, the day of the Lord is near. So there are choices that we have to make. It is a positive thing to stay in the valley of decision, because isn't it true that when you are going through a trial, a tribulation, something is hard, and the decision to be made is huge in front of you, you feel the realness of God. This is the way that human nature is. This is why when we look at our brothers and sisters from Abraham's seed, we can see that when they fell into worshiping idols and getting involved in that whole Babylonian Egyptian spirit of just kind of doing what they feel and, worshiping all of these different gods through their obedience, through their praise, through having fun and pouring out their drinks to these things that didn't exist other than through fallen angels. We see that when they did that, the Lord helped them. And how did he help them? He carried them off. He allowed them to be carried off. He let a little bit of the real world back in so that they would come to their senses. I like this text earlier in chapter 3 where it says, "Let the heathen be wakened." Now, I know that this likely means that they'll be wakened for judgment. Okay, this is a final awakening. This is like, you know, it's appointed once under man to die, and then after that, the judgment. But the Lord is trying to wake us up. Multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near. Put in your sickle, for the harvest is ripe. We have a job to do. We have to put in our sickle and reap that harvest. We can't just let things go. The weaker we are in the service of the Lord, the weaker we are with our case before the judgment seat of Christ. But the further, the deeper we get into his service, the more strength we have to succeed, to carry on seeking him through service. How else can I be like Jesus except through service? We're coming up to Passover pretty soon. And a lot of people just think, oh, you know, Easter, Passover, you know, it's kind of old fashioned, you know, to even think about the difference between the two. I'm a modern Christian and I know that I have been, you know, whatever, X, Y, and Z. But the truth is, Passover is the biblical anniversary of the sacrifice of our Lord. It's a fact, okay? It's history. It's the historical anniversary even. Just like you have a birthday. You were born on a certain day in a certain year on the calendar, and you look back at that calendar every year and you remember, you know, such and such a time in this day, my mother gave birth, and here I am. And that's a happy thing. Passover is coming up. And we think about the life of Christ and how he lived daily, daily, daily in everything that he did in that valley of decision, because he was struggling for our deliverance in that time. The multitudes, the multitudes, the multitudes surrounded Jesus Christ. They walked behind Yeshua. Yeshua, which actually means salvation. Their salvation. Walking the planet, our salvation, striving for perfection for us, for our heart, for our life, for our mind. Multitudes in that valley of decision, don't run away from the struggle. The story is told of a pastor back in the mid to late 1800s who was a brilliant preacher. Hall was his name. Brilliant man. Preached the gospel without fear or favor. He had such a way with words that someone invited him to enter into a biblical debate. And he thought, maybe this will be an opportunity for me to show the deeper character of the word and some of the things that we can bring into our hearts and minds now and be saved into God's kingdom. So despite others telling him that debate was not the best way to do it, he went into debating. And he got so involved in debating and having a quick wit and a sharp tongue that he lost the taste of the blood of Christ, the nature of Christ, the sacrificial lifestyle of Christ that was all about that self-denial and the grind and the burn. The fire, the refining fire that never did go out, but only burned brighter until the day of the Lord. He lost it. He was caught up in the practical beauty of humanity's chosen social moray. He was still in the religious lifestyle, debating religion, but he lost his connection to the one and only. Because God is not about these things. We have to do these things. We have to occupy until he comes. So there are some things that we will have to do. Yes, brush your teeth, please. Keep your body healthy. These things are a part of your spirituality. It's a part of the lifestyle. Work, pay your bills. It's a part of lifestyle. If you don't live outside, if you're not living off of the land and having a perfect ecosystem and living under the ecosystem, it's not a sin to get a job, but you need to make sure that you're following Christ. It's not about earning more money, having a better car, being better respected, even in the church. This is about remaining in that valley of decision. It's about sticking in your sickle every chance you get. It's about showing someone the love and nature of our Creator and reminding them of that little spark that was put inside of them, that why question. Where did we come from? Why? Where did the flowers come from? Why? What is the purpose of our olfactory nerve? Why? Why are the stars there? Why is the universe expanding? Okay? Why do we need to eat constantly? How come it's not something that's there and we just eat once in life and then we don't need to eat anymore? Why isn't it absorbed through the skin? These questions, they seem kind of out there. But the reality is that everything that happens on the planet, everything is order. And the answer, the final answer to the why question, if you keep asking why forever and ever, and you answer with an intelligent, well thought out answer, there'll be another why. And the end of that is our God. The last why answer takes us back to our Creator God, our love, our friend. So stick in your sickle and reap. This is your job. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. It says chapter 2, 30, verse 32. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Read the book of Joel.
So I could be like you, but I can't be you. But now I see you.
You are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you.
I'll seek you. I'll seek you. I will find you.
You are a rewarder.
I'll seek you till I find you.
You are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you.
I'll seek you. I seek you. I will find you. Find you.
You are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And if I seek you, I seek you till I find you.